you say Mr. Brightside, I'm probably going to slap you.
I'm not going to play Mr. Brightside because I actually detest that song, low-key.
You detest Mr. Brightside?
This is not intended to be used as actual therapy, and all of our advice should be taken with a grain of salt. We do not advocate the use of drugs, alcohol, and insanity, but they are part of the story of who we are today.
Thoughts, and therapy.
So, moving on from kind of levels of inebriation and like how we treat our bodies, we have partied a lot together. We've been to like a pretty hefty amount of clubs together, you know, some clubs in, most of the clubs, all the clubs in Kingston, some clubs in Montreal. And what would you say are like the different kinds of nightclubs? What would you say are like your favorite kind of nightclub? This kid is pouring a shot for me, which is actually terrifying.
This is obscene. I'm so scared right now.
But what would you say is your like, your kind of ideal nightclub vibe?
My ideal nightclub vibe depends on like the group I'm with. I like my house guys. I'm a big fan of going out to a bar with them because like I just enjoy casually having drinks with them. But I think almost any other group, I'm really into the whole dancing with, like, you know, almost like the rest of my friends. Like, I'm a big fan of just dancing with. So it's like I'm a big nightclub fan. We'll say there's the two main clubs in Kingston, you know, out of Queens. Queens students, you know, respects everywhere. All my guys are going to get this. Stages is a dancing club. You know, it's big open dance floor, huge DJ booth. That's like a club you go to just dance. You get a drink and you hit the dance floor and you just sweat it out for like an hour. Ale is another Kingston club, but they have like two parts. They have like Ale House and Canteen. And Ale is like a club, same thing. They have like a big dance floor, but it's cool because they have two levels. They have like an upstairs and a downstairs. And then Canteen is really cool because that's like the bar pub scene. And then the last club is the Spot.
And I can tell you categorically right now that the Spot is not the spot to be.
The Spot is jack. It's a nightclub, but it's one of the worst nightclubs I've ever been to, ever been in. Never had like a great memory there. Like even like I don't want to say I've had bad memories there because it's not completely true, but good memories is a stretch. Cheers.
Cheers. To the Spot.
To the Spot, fuck.
Moving on to the Spot. Clubs in Montreal. What did you find different about clubs in Montreal? Oh, what did you like about clubs in Montreal?
Okay. My favorite club, so being from like the States, like I don't have like a huge experience with clubs in Montreal. Like I don't know if, you know, if it's like a thing in Canada, like high school kids will like, you know, mission out to Montreal for like a weekend. But my club experience in Montreal is limited to probably Tokyo.
What do you mean? We've been to Tokyo, Campai, Apartment 200.
Oh, we went to Campai.
We've been to Suwu. We've been to
what was it? Apartment
Cafe Campus. Man, we've been to all the big ones in Montreal. What are you talking
about?
Are
those really, like, I almost thought it would be, like, so mixed. But, yeah, it's true. I guess we've really been wrong. My favorite is Tokyo by far. I think Tokyo, like, is my, not, like, you know, spirit animal, but it's just got, like, the huge dance floors. It's got sick neon lights, huge booths around the club. They have, like, two separate bars. They have, like, this one big open, like, U bar by the bathrooms. They have another big like enclosed bar on like the other side of the club. Like, I really back Tokyo. It's a huge dance floor. Lots of elevated surfaces to stand on.
Yeah, I think Tokyo is like actually like the most basic bitch of a nightclub.
No,
because
man, so
it
basic
is like
bitch.
So like exactly what you would expect of a nightclub. Like, there's nothing surprising about it, but it's enjoyable, it gets what you want, and like, oh, this kid's pouring wine.
Wine. We're having wine right now. Join us.
Mixing drinks is never a healthy idea. but I'm a stan of Tokyo.
I think it's hype. Like, I know cost-wise, you know, it probably breaks even or even, like, you know, they're profiting on it. But I was a big fan of the couple times we've been to Tokyo, like, they give you drink tickets with your cover. So it's like we pay, like, $5 cover, you know, like students. We show my student card, you know, $5 cover. And then you get a beer with that or a shot or, like, a Jaeger bomb or something. Cheers.
Beer shot, Jaeger bomb, yeah.
Beer shot, Jaeger bomb. Sounds like a winning combination to me. But either, like, you get one of those included with your ticket, and I just kind of like it. Like, takes, like, the hassle out of it. At least for your first drink, because, like, you know, they give you just a ticket, and you just give it to, like, the bartender, and they just, like, give you, you know, whatever you want. I thought that was kind of cool. So in terms of Montreal clubs, like, you asked me, like, I get to ask you, like, what's your favorite club? And, like, you know, do you have any good experiences, any good memories, favorite times?
I will say that, A, the best whiskey sour I've had in my life was at Campai, so I'm a hard stand for that, but Campai is kind of away from the McGill campus. It's a bit out of the way, so like it's a difficult club to get really into. I would say that I'm going to say the same thing as Ben, that like, Tokyo is definitely the club I've had the most positive experiences. We've been there a few times together, and like it just never fails to have a good time. Whenever I think of Tokyo, there's just, like, one story I think of, and I think Ben probably knows the story I'm thinking of.
I do.
It, like, starts with us lining up. It's kind of probably, like, 11. The line is big enough that, like, we weren't going to get in reasonably if we just lined up.
This was a big line, folks. Like, let me tell you. Like, we walked down the street to Tokyo, and we looked at this line, and we were like, wow, like, this is stretched 3-4 department stores, like, you know, next to it. Like, this is insane. Like, there's no way we're getting it. So we kind of look at the line, you know, we look kind of at the end and we're like, okay, this kind of sucks. We kind of slowly look our way up the line and we're like, okay, what's next? Like who is someone we can cut? Like here us, you know, the two of us Queens students from Kingston, not from Montreal, in Montreal. Like who can we cut? We don't know anyone here. How can we do it? We see this, like, I think it was just a gap. Like it wasn't even people we knew. We just saw a gap in line. We're cutting in here and we're going unnoticed. We slide in. And the girls behind us immediately start giving us shit. We told them we're from New York and that we're Americans. And, like, they have no idea. And they're like, oh, like, you know, like, what the fuck? Like, you know, we're not, like, from New York. You know, the first girl introduced herself as, like, being from, like, Saskatchewan. And this kid, Arya.
Immediately, I'm like, what the fuck is a Saskatchewan? And, like, she looked at me like
exactly
I was
like
so
that.
Dumb. And it actually baffled me that, like, she either, like, really thought that I didn't know what Saskatchewan was. Or that, like, I don't even know. But, like, this girl, like, was looking at me like I was completely retarded, and
this
like I stuck to it completely. Like I was like is that a made up name? Like you really just like are so uncomfortable just like saying what school you go to that you had
you
to
just
make
made
up
a bunch of consonants and some vowels mixed.
And so like you know I pretend to be like an annoying American and being like oh that's a province. What is a
what's
province?
A province?
So anyway, they're getting like really annoyed.
They're really getting really annoyed, and then finally, I think the breaking moment for me was when they said, like, oh, like, well, we go to school, like, at Queens. And, you know, us, like, being Queens students, like, we love our community. Like, we love, like, our friends. Like, we just love, like, anyone who's gone to Queens, like, we're automatically family.
Like, but,
no
like,
hate.
We also have to admit how crazy this was. Like,
this was
random,
an insane coincidence.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
This is a random weekend. We're in Montreal. And we just assumed that these kids went to McGill. And, like, they suddenly, like, hit us with, like, we go to Queens. And
from Queens.
We just kind of, like, realized we're, like, dead in the water, right? Like, we cannot continue to be, like, pricks like
no
this.
Way. And like, we'd be pricks if we, like, kept continuing just, like, our fake story of, like, being American. So we immediately broke down. We immediately lost from the, you guys are from Queens? We're from Queens. And they, like, I
they
feel
didn't
bad
believe
saying
us.
This.
They thought we were completely
yeah,
fucked
yeah,
up. Because, like, they were so done with our bullshit. They're, like, you guys are, like, completely screwing with us. Like, you're not from Queens. And they started, like, interrogating us with, like, details from Queens.
Oh, man, it was so funny. So, like, like, being in, like, business school, it was, like, the one girl was, like, oh, like, I went to, like, Smith. And I was, like, no way, like, I go to Smith. She was, like, oh, like, really? Like, who's your first year accounting prof? And this is, like, second year now. So, like, I had to think back of them. I'm, like, oh, George Bowen. She's, like, holy shit, no way. My first year professor was George Bowen. And we lost him. Like, that was it. That was
yeah,
the connection. Like,
it was
the
crazy.
Electric connection. Like,
we like,
connected.
We find, like, these girls, they ended up having, like, a friend of ours on Snapchat. And
yeah.
Like, yeah, they Snapchatted, like, a picture of us to him. And he, like, confirmed that we were actually Queen's
yeah,
students.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I forgot
we got
about
really
that.
Excited, like, hung out with them for, like, the whole night.
So,
like, so
that was a good time. Definitely biased towards Tokyo. You know, Tokyo holds a special
yeah.
place in our heart. You know, good. Like, if you have a good lineup memory at a club, you're winning.
So, I think the first thing I want
to
talk about.
A lot to talk about here.
A lot. Yeah, there is a lot to talk about.
What's
up
first?
Think the first thing I want to talk about is just, like, moving transportation. Moving and just, like, getting from point A to point B. So, I think the first thing I want to kind of discuss is, like, getting the group round. And would you say that you have ever left a pre on time?
I have never left a pre on time ever. I don't think I ever will. Not even because it's, like, a standard that people, like, go late to pre's, but it's because no matter what I do, I will never get people organized at a pre. Ever. Like, I can never get anyone organized ever. Like, what about you? Like,
okay, I'm going to preface
have you
this.
Ever left a pre early?
I'm going to preface this by saying that, like, I'm a person who religiously likes to plan things and do things on time, and, like, we're kind of different about this, and that, like, I'm pissed off at Ben all the time because he has no problems with being late for things, and, like, I'm so aggressively into, like, if I'm not 5 minutes early, like, I need to start, like, you know, like, slapping myself because I'm a piece of shit. So, like, this kid has, like, you know, he's so laissez-faire about, like, how he gets to things and, you know, being on time, and getting
what?
Out of the pre with this guy is, like, so annoying.
I cannot leave a conversation ever. Like, anytime I have to go, like, if I'm at a pre, we'll assume I'm there because I know someone, and I'm not going to leave until I, like, am done in conversation with anyone I know. So it's, like, on the way out to the door, like, I probably have to talk to, like, 3 or 4 people to get out. Like, this poor kid.
So I think the next thing I want to talk about is something that Ben does regularly that really frustrates me. So I...
Be a baller. Be a badass.
So I've talked about this before already on this episode. Like, I hate being cold, and like I'm like, actually like a 125-pound white boy who like has no body fat, and like I take my winter jacket everywhere as soon as it's like, you know, like probably August.
Then it's like almost more than his phone. Like he would bring his winter jacket like over his phone.
That's just like a responsible decision. That like if it's conditions where you need a winter jacket, you need to decide between your phone or like actual like the requirements of your physical body, the winter jacket wins. So I think the thing I want to talk about is coat check anger, because I personally, I take a coat and I check a coat. I'm a human. I'm fine with supporting the bars with their coat check service. You know, usually, like, the ladies at the coat check are super nice to me, so, like, you know, I enjoy their company, whatever. I can't believe I just said company for a coat check lady.
Company talks to for 3 seconds.
Oh, God. When a girl talks to me, it's fine. Like, it, like, highlights my week.
Company!
So, I always check my coat, and this kid is obsessed with putting his coat inside of mine. Like, as soon as he kind of, like, his, like, vulture eyes sees that I'm checking coat, he's like, yo, give me your coat! So, like, I can kind of, like, shove my coat into your coat sleeve. And, like, I feel so awkward walking up to, like, you know, like, my company coat check lady and being like, hey, like, here's my coat. And, like, one of, like,
six other coats.
Yeah, like, one sleeve is the size of, like, a small child, and, like, the other sleeve is normal. And she's like, and, like, kind of, like, puts the coat hanger on. And what this kid does because of that, he always says that he's so okay with me just, like, taking his coat and leaving when I want to, but I'm a quality friend, and I would never do that, right? Like, I'm not gonna leave this kid alone without his coat. I'm not gonna leave the bar without him. So when he does this, he forces me to leave the bar with him, which I think is a tactical strategy that he's devised so, like, we leave together because, like, you know, he's really into that, which, whatever. He really likes sleeping on the couch in my room.
I guess my opinion from this would be that I'm a big fan of not wearing a coat out. So, like, if it's a cold night that I know I would either have to coat check or not wear a coat, I'll wear, like, a long sleeve or something and just try and conserve body. Like, I'll hit the line, I'll huddle with someone, like, I'll just try and stand close to other people, like, conserve body mass. If I'm going out with people who I know are going to get coat check, of course I'm going to wear a coat and just shove it into their sleeve. But what Arya skips over is that I stand by, like, the ideology that, like, if I bring a coat out and I coat check it in someone else's coat, like, they're not responsible for me. Like, they can take my coat out of their jacket, they can throw it on the ground, they can leave it in the club, they can bring it back to their house, like, whatever. Like maybe I haven't communicated that clear enough, but anytime I ever put a jacket I wear into someone's coat, I accept, like, the outcome of events that they'll leave without me, and I will not have a coat going.
But Ben, it doesn't matter if you accept that, because I'm not a piece of shit, and I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to leave without a jacket, because the way I think about it is if someone did that to me, I would be incredibly angry at them, and I wouldn't respect that, so I will never do that to you. So it doesn't matter, like, how much you say that to me, I'm never going to leave the club without you when you put your jacket in mine.
You're a boy.
No, you need to stop doing it!
No, what it really is like, you're a boy, and, like, I'm just, like, a chess master.
No, it's taking advantage of me. And, like, I know you're taking advantage of me. I, like, fine, whatever. I like being taken advantage of. I think the next thing I want to talk about is the whole leaving the club / house party / bar thing, because I have a very different way of doing this than you do. I think you always, like, leave as a group, and I, like, really self-censor in, like, house parties and stuff.
You can talk first. Why do you leave solo so much? Like, it's not a bad thing. It's just, like, that's the way we have to phrase it. It's like, why do you leave solo?
What's it called? I think that the whole thing about leaving the club solo, I'm so aggressive with self-policing that when I get too drunk and I just get so self-conscious when I'm a little too hammered that, like, my default move is just so aggressively to call myself an Uber home. And I do that so often. Like, I think this kid has so many experiences with, like, losing me at the, like, wherever we are, because I just tap myself out all the time. I don't tell anyone. I'm just like, I, like, walk outside, like, kind of, like, you know, suck down a breath of fresh air. And I'm like, wow, this Uber needs to take me home right now. This kid's trying to, like, do some kind of interactive activity.
I was trying to mimic, but this is a podcast, not a video, so you can't see me.
Yeah.
Man, so bad. I have so many memories. Not, like, so many times, but, like, I've definitely gone to the bar seat, like, a lot, to the point where I've noticed that, like, if I can't find you for, like, 5 to 10 minutes, like, I just write off that you're gone, and, like, that's where you are. Like, you're gone. Like, you've gone home, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, no, I do that a lot.
And it's so fun, man. Like, it's like, if we had to push anything wellness this episode, I would say don't feel bad or be afraid to, like, leave the club when you want to leave the club. Like, if you want to leave the club to, like, salvage A, your day tomorrow, like, B, your personal health, you know, C, not do something you regret, leave the club. You know, yeah. go home, definitely, sleep. Definitely. It's so bad. Like, it's so bad. Like I have no anger towards anyone leaving the public.
You interact with a scary girl and you're just like, okay, I'm leaving right now.
Holy shit, she said she wanted to kiss me. Ah! Girls kiss boy.
So I think the next thing I want to talk about is an interesting, like, concept. What do you think about the long game? And when I say the long game, I mean the very short-term long game within the constraints of one night. And how important do you think the long game is for an evening?
If I had to spell out the long game for all of our listeners out there, the long game looks like, you know, going to a party or a pre, not knowing what's going to happen, and you kind of like find a girl you're interested, find a guy you're interested, you know, etc., and you decide you want to pursue it for the night.
What we mean is this concept that basically to hook up with someone, you need to stay out all night. And do you agree with that?
I agree with that. As obviously, like, our opinions are very biased as men, but coming from, like, the male perspective to the female perspective, like, you know, like, chasing a girl you're interested in, 99% of the time, it involves, like, growing closer to them the whole night. And then it's, like, you know, you start by meeting them in the beginning, in the pre, in the club, and you just kind of hang out with them the whole night. Like, you become, you kind of, you know, fast lane the whole friendship thing to end up sleeping with them, and, like, that's, I guess, what we could call the long game.
So why would you, I have some opinions on this, yeah, but I'm curious what you think.
No, we have a lot of opinions.
So why do you think that the long game is basically necessary?
The long game is necessary for people who, A, I think, like, respect themselves a lot, think they're, like, they're caring people, and B, like, respect the person we're going to hook up with. It sounds like a really dry and, like, boring way to explain it, but if you are playing the long game with someone, I think you're doing it because you respect them and you respect yourself. I think the people who, like, when you go to a party, you go to a club, and then you hook them in the bathroom, you hook them in a random room, like a random stranger. I think
just
like,
okay. Can we pause for a second? Okay, I was gonna say, like, if you consider hooking up in a bathroom anything to do with respect,
no,
like,
no,
I'm
it's
not
a lack
concerned.
It's a lack of respect. So I'm saying, like, it's a lack of respect that the long game is for people who want to. I don't think, you know, playing the long game for a one-night stand is, like, a good representation of the population, but I think a lot of people play the long game for a whole night, continue it more than one hookup. Like, it doesn't become a one-night stand.
Okay, I've got a little bit of a rant going on.
Well, let's hear it.
So, I personally, I think this, A, has to do with sleep schedule, and I think it's a really interesting concept that to have consistent sex in university, you need to have a sleep schedule where you're awake between the hours of midnight and 2 a.m. And I might just say I don't have consistent sex in university, but, like, I don't have a sleep schedule like that at all. I really enjoy my sleep. I really enjoy waking up early enough that I can really attack my day. And I'm always amazed that the whole staying up late is by far the only way you can make things work. And I think that the reason behind this, and, like, you know, I might be completely wrong because, like, obviously, like, I have no comprehension of, like, girls think, but that I think that as a girl, you don't want to, like, leave your friend group early, and that, like, as a girl, if you're leaving the club, you kind of have to let everyone know, and that if you're leaving the club to hook up with someone, that, like, you don't really want to do that. Like, you don't want to come up to, like, your gal pals and be like, hey, girls, like,
I'm
guess
gonna
what?
Go,
like,
get
I'm
gonna dick.
Go give this guy the Gluck Gluck 9000, so, like, you know what, like, I'll see you guys, girls later. And I think that, like, by far, the way girls enjoy doing that is, like, waiting till, like, things kind of calm down and everyone's naturally leaving and then you leave together, but not making it an independent event that you leave together. And I just want to say that I personally hate that because I like going to bed at 11, and then, like, if I have to stay up till 2 a.m., like, I would rather just
You would rather not have sex?
Literally, I'd rather sleep than have sex because, like, you know what? Like, fine.
What do you think is the true mess of a party? Like, the people don't understand. People out there who have not thrown parties.
Man,
where's the true mess come from?
Okay. I think it's a really interesting concept that if you haven't thrown a party before in your house, like, you don't realize how messy it gets. And okay, there's a few things. First of all, I don't think people really realize that when you're throwing a party, there are nothing off limits about what can get broken.
Anything.
Like,
literally anything.
Yeah, people are drunk. Anything in your house can get broken. And, like, I think people think of, like, normal things, like, you know, like, your curtains, like, you know, like, your shower, as things that, like, just don't get broken because they're just, like, integral parts of your house. But no. When you have a party, people are drunk, random things are going to get broken. What's the story about an oven? I think you have.
Oh, man. I went to one of my friend's house parties, and this house is a bit of a trap house, which we'll definitely talk about in a little bit. But getting to this house and just seeing, you know, 150 people packed into like the living room and their stairs and just leaving after like half an hour because it was so sweaty and messy, and waking up the next morning and seeing that someone A, broke the glass on their oven door, and then B, ripped off their whole oven door. Like, these guys were without an oven door for probably a week. Like, missing a whole oven door. Like, imagine cooking anything and then imagine remembering that you are missing an oven door. Like, it's so fried. So, in terms of the true mess of a party, like, things will always get out of hand. And if you're ever going to throw a house party, you should definitely be aware, if not accepting, of the fact that anything could get broken. Like, you could break just about anything. I guess with the whole mess of a party, I guess you can count people as a mess. And where do you find the mess in people? Like, random people. Have you ever had random people come to your party or gone to a party as a...
Man, for me, I think it's just like the waking up and there are people in your house thing. Like, that really bothers me.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way.
Like, I'm just, like, I'm not a major fan of people sleeping over in, like, random places in my house because they're too drunk. I aggressively think that the most healthy thing to do for yourself, if you have a decent support group of friends when you're really drunk, is to get yourself home, because that's where you can get the most long and restful sleep. And then I think that if you end up staying over at someone's house overnight, because, like, with a house party, that is your responsibility to help them clean up. And it just frustrates me when people don't do that. I think the last thing we're going to close this out with is some funny questions. The first question I want to ask you is, what's your morning after ritual?
Wow, man. I hate to be like a basic bitch, but my morning after ritual consists of Tim Hortons. I go to Tim's, like if I can, I go to Tim's and I get a farmer's wrap with a hash brown and maybe a double-double if I have to do something. But if not, like, I will get a farmer's wrap and just eat it and go back to sleep.
Okay, I want you guys to understand really clearly that this guy's morning after ritual isn't getting a farmer's wrap. His morning after ritual is having me get him a farmer's wrap, because I live beside Tim's. So when he says he goes to get Tim's, he means I get him Tim's. I think my morning after
ritual... What's your morning after ritual? Like,
man, my morning after... First of all, okay, I actually have like a really aggressive strategy about how not to get hungover, and I'm about to drop some...
Let's go.
...sexy knowledge on you guys.
Cheers. Right,
yeah,
shot.
I'll take a shot and then drop some sexy knowledge. Wow. So, sexy knowledge. I think we've kind of like covered the fact that I really like to plan my life. I like to have a set time when I wake up. Wow, the shot is hitting. I like to have a set time when I wake up. And a big part of that is I set an alarm for 1 hour before I want to wake up. I put a bottle of water beside my bed. When that alarm goes off, I chug the entire bottle of water and then go back to sleep. And I take an Advil. So an hour later, I wake up and I've drank like a liter of water and I've had an Advil and I wake up relatively normal. I will say that that is probably the biggest thing you can do for yourself to like be functional in like the next morning after partying. If you want to like, you know, do some schoolwork, go outside and like not have your irises hurting. Generally, yeah, just set an alarm an hour before you want to wake up, put a bottle of water beside your bed, chug that, go back to sleep, wake up an hour later, you're chilling. That's my morning after ritual. Really aggressively planning it. I think next question is, if you could go clubbing with absolutely anyone, who would it be?
I would go clubbing with our old Dean, Dean Wolf. Absolute boy. Like, this guy had an Instagram and he just like posted nature photos. Like, this is our dean at the school, so, you know, probably doesn't mean a lot to everyone, but I think it would be absolutely hysterical getting out clubbing with like the ex-dean, or, you know, the current dean of the school would be absolutely insane. Like taking this man to club, like buying this man a whiskey sour, and like seeing like what he would break down on the dance floor, absolutely ripped.
Wow.
Who would you go clubbing with?
This is gonna sound like so like emotionally awful, because like I'm just like such a, like a little emotional bag of bullshit.
His ex.
Wow, that was not it. But things you don't want to see at the club. No, I actually enjoy clubbing with my sister so much. It's a bit scary because like I feel so responsible for her. But like that girl, just my sister is like probably my best friend in life. Like I would take a bullet for that girl, 100%. Like no questions asked. Like her life is worth more than mine. But like that girl is so much fun to party with. She is so good at being social. She's like way more the extrovert in the family than I am. She talks to random people. I get to meet random people, and I just love clubbing with my sister. And it feels like such a family vibe.
If you say
clubbing with my sister is your favorite thing to do, I'll actually hurt you. So I've got another question. If you are the CEO, Central Executive Officer of partying, I messed that up so badly.
Central
Executive Oscar.
Chief Executive Oscar.
What's up, Chief? What would you establish or implement?
I would definitely establish a beer pong table at every party. I think having a beer pong table is such an easy way to get groups of people engaged, if not watching, that like you can play beer pong and have a good time with it, or you can watch people playing beer pong and have a good time with it.
Do you want to tell the story of the last time we played beer pong?
Okay.
So
I'm back.
Yeah, that's why beer pong's the same for every single party, because people get naked.
That's why beer pong is hype as fuck, kids.
But I would like to say that if I was the CEO of partying,
what would you establish or implement?
Man, club stuff. Like, I strongly believe that if you're studying at the library till 10 a.m., you should be able to, like, you know, go buy drinks when you're feeling done.
Imagine all of our listeners out there. Imagine, like, going to a library and being able to, like, study till, like, 11 or 12, and then it's 12 and you want to go home, and you can get like a to-go drink, you can get like an Irish car bomb or like absolutely like anything you want for the walk. I'm like, that type is CEO of partying, let's go.
Woo! Okay,
last question, because I think we're both gonna do the same thing after this question. If someone put a gun to your head right now or while you were out, what song would you sing? Okay. I know for me, it would be a certain song.
Bonfire, Childish Gambino.
Listen to it. It's a banger. In terms of sing-along songs, there's definitely a song we would both sing.
Can
and it kind of goes like...
track to Childish Gambino?
You are...
my fire.
My one desire.
But no, okay. I think what songs you sing all the way through is it's Bonfire. But I think an interesting one, you're an aux, what song would you play? You're at a party, you're on the spot.
If I'm on aux and I had one song chance to not mess it up, I would play...
If you say Mr. Brightside, I'm probably going to slap you.
I'm not going to play Mr. Brightside because I actually detest that song low-key.
You detest Mr. Brightside?
Like, I just think it's so basic. It's the most basic bitch anything ever. Like, that
is
the baseline.
She's calling a cab and I'm having a smoke. It's just taking a drag. She's touching his chest now.
If I had one chance to aux at a party, I would probably play Hotel Room Service by Pitbull because people get down to it.
But no, I regret that. I respect that. What song would I play? Do you know the song that's like, let's start a riot?
Yeah.
I just like that song because like, I strongly believe in starting social movements to, you know, project positive change. And I think that, like, you know, starting a riot at a house party is positive change, so.
This is Ben.
This was Arya. And this is
Thoughts, Thoughts, and Therapy. We thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.